Oh, what a 24 hours we've had for the Washington Wizards. God, I woke up this morning and said, wait a second, was that a dream? No, it wasn't. The Wizards actually did get the number one overall pick. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm at Nick Ashew on all the socials, and it's been a fun 24 hours, hasn't it? I mean, it's one of those moments where you'll always, as a sports fan, kind of remember that feeling of, like, the result actually being what you expected it to be, what you were hoping it would be. You know what? I'll even change that. It's not even maybe the result that you expected it to be. It's the result you hoped it would be. Because if we're being honest with ourselves, most people felt like the basketball gods were going to come down and smite the Wizards and give them the fifth pick. And you started seeing a couple of teams drop yesterday. Man, I'm sitting there going, oh, no. Oh, this is happening. It had that feel, didn't it? Where it was just like, this is going to be one of those moments where we sit and look and go, oh, well, it was fun. And you're justifying why the fourth or fifth pick can work. And there's talent all the way down. We've talked about that for a while here. But for this team to get to that next stage of the rebuild, because that's what this is. This is the next stage of the rebuild for the Wizards. To get to it and have the best possible result after everything the team has done to rebuild to get to this point, after everything, you know, the fan base has gone through, right? That's what we, like, you watch this team, you want to see them win. And I've said this for so long that D.C. is a hoops town. Really is. It's just been really hard to be a fan of basketball in the D.C. area, even beyond the Wizards. I mean, it's not like anything college basketball is relevant enough or consistent enough, right? It's frustrating. And, you know, you got the high school level, but that's still just different. And it is a very much basketball town in D.C. And to get to a point now where there's this real feeling of hope layered on top of hope with the Wizards, it's been a long time. I mean, it's been a long time since we've felt that with this team. And the reason why I say it too, it's like layered on top, because you had the trade deadline and Anthony Davis and Trae Young, and even whether you think they're a part of the organization long-term or not, you still looked at it and said, okay, they've got a plan now that's beyond just, like, collect a bunch of young guys and, we'll figure it out and get a bunch of young dudes out. No, it was more than that, and it showed you that it wasn't just rebuild forever. It was collect young talent and then start adding and taking that next step. That was part one of the next step. This is part two, and this was luck. I mean, really, this was luck. And that's okay, right? Sometimes you actually get luck as a team to go your way. As a fan, you get things to actually go your way. And it's a nice feeling. Look, I've always said this, right? Being a fan means suffering. It does. Being a fan means that there are going to be a lot of years of suffering, of bad seasons, of losses. And then you get those moments of highs, and you hope that they stay. And if an organization's built the right way, and if an organization does the right thing to get that level of sustainability that's there, That's how you get that consistent winning year after year after year. And again, I know we're off from that, but this is how you build that foundation with the Wizards. It's the same thing I've said, you know, with the Commanders, where the ability for them to win one season and have 12 win season and get to an NFC championship, that's great. But we saw what happened last year. So they're not at a level of sustainability. They're at a level of essentially being a firework, right? It's pretty. Ooh, 1 year. Oh, God, here we are back at 5 wins. And this is now with the Wizards. This becomes that next step. This becomes that, all right, we have now set ourselves up to be a very good team, to be a team that has, you know, growth in it and a blueprint and consistency maybe. And, like, all the things you're, you know, great culture, all of that. It's you're taking those steps, and that's what makes this just such a good position for the team to be in. It was the draft that everybody wanted to tank for. It was the draft that everybody wanted to lose for. I mean, a third of the league. We all know what everybody was trying to do, all right? A third of the league said, we want to go and make sure that we have a top pick in this draft. And for once, it was the Wizards. It was the Wizards getting that top pick and having the choice of plenty of guys, though we know it's probably going to come down to two, and I'd argue maybe even one at this point. But you still look at where they are versus where it was. And you, like, it's okay to feel a level of optimism around this team. I know it's hard. I know it's been a long time. And I know it's been frustrating. And I know it sucked. We've all suffered through it together. But it's okay to look at the Wizards and be excited about it. And to look at the future and think, hey, this could actually be a team that next year We're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about a second round series even against the Pistons, like the Cavs are in or whatever, right? Like, the East is wide open, and the Wizards can be a part of this. Now, I'm not putting them above. I mean, good God, they still won 17 games this year, even with the tanking. So, like, I'm not going to get to the point here where we're going to be like, okay, well, you know, now it's we're talking about them with the Celtics and the Knicks. All right, we're going to pump the brakes here. But this is that next big step, and I think that's one of the most important things, is that they're in that position now to establish themselves in the playoff picture moving forward. But I will say this, get ready for lying season, because it is going to be here. We just had it with the Commanders. We're already getting it with the Wizards. I mean, there's already rumors they're open to trade down. I believe nothing. I believe nothing like that other than maybe who they're going to take, and it's A.J. DeBonta most likely. I mean, really. And now, if you're the Wizards front office, this is what you do. You tell people, yeah, we're open for business. I mean, who wants to make an offer? I don't know. Maybe we will draft Aaron Peterson, maybe A.J. DeBonta. You know, Cameron Boozer looked pretty good too. Like, they're going to give you all of this. And that's the right approach. It's the same thing we just saw from the Commanders. And listen, if Jeremiah Love was on the board, who knows where this would have gone or whatever. But believe almost nothing that you're going to hear leading up to this NBA draft. And it's not just with the Wizards. I mean, it's everybody else, too. There's going to be a lot of lying. Lying season is going to be really, really aggressive, especially with the amount of talent that's still in just the lottery as a whole here. There may be other teams that decide, you know, maybe we should get a little younger, and they're going to trade an aging star, and there's another team that decides they want to get that guy instead or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities given how this draft shaped up. But at least you're not the Indiana Pacers, right? Oh, if there was any team that I wanted to see not get a first-round pick or especially a lottery pick, it was the Pacers. They were just in the finals last year. This team was in the NBA Finals, and they could have had a top-five pick, maybe want to vomit. I was so excited to see the Clippers take that pick at five. So excited. You made the finals last year. You don't deserve a lottery pick. That's where the NBA needs to make some changes. Not the Wizards, who are actually rebuilding the right way. That's the difference. We'll talk to Chris Miller, voice of the Wizards, at 7:30. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. So what does success look like? What is success for the Wizards next year? This is something I've tried to figure out with a lot of different people, and I think it's, you know, still up in the air because there's a whole offseason and there's a lot of things to still be done. But one of the big questions was answered yesterday. We know they're going to have the number one overall pick. We know they're going to have opportunities to draft franchise-altering players, depending on who they like. It's probably A.J. DeBonta. Maybe it's Darren Peterson. Maybe it changes. They're going to lie. There's going to be a lot of rumors out there that the Wizards are going to maybe consider a trade, and maybe they will. And listen, everybody's got the right choice. Like, I don't know if Nikola Jokic and, you know, they're going to Nikola Jokic for the number one overall pick. Are you considering that? I mean, you might. I don't know. Again, like, who knows what shows up? Do I think that's going to happen? No. But, you know, before last night, success for the Wizards felt more like it was about luck. It was about ping pong balls. It was about the basketball gods being nice to this team for a change. And it just felt like everybody was just on pins and needles, right? We're sitting there and we're waiting. We're just like, oh my God, I mean, what's this going to look like? Is it going to be the fifth pick? Probably the third. I don't know. We've been here before. And I get it, right? Like, there's scars. There's scars as a Commanders fan. There's scars as a Wizards fan. There's scars as being a DC sports fan. And remember, we've had good years. Let's remember. And this is how you get through it, okay? This is how we got through it. I'm looking over my shoulder in my home studio here. District of Champions poster is sitting there. I look and just go, I remember that. 2018 and 2019. Feels like an eternity, but it was there at one point. And look, if you look now with where the Wizards sit, it just, you know, you feel that there is a level of growth that's expected. It's not anymore just about, hey, they're this fun, young, spunky team. There's now expectations that are placed on this team, and rightfully so. I don't think anybody within the organization, from front office to coaching staff to players or whoever, does not look at where they sit and go, yeah, we should be a team that shows significant growth next year. The question is what does that growth look like? And look, you could talk win totals, you could talk season. There's a lot of moving parts. I get that. But let's just paint a big picture here for the Wizards. Let's look at this from a big picture perspective. This is a team that if they stay healthy by NBA standards, again, different obviously than the NFL here, let's not think about what the Commanders went through. Let's just look at, for the Wizards, from a NBA perspective, you're going to have some guys that are going to be hurt. Anthony Davis is in his own world. We don't even know if he's going to be on the team. But let's just play the hypothetical. Anthony Davis gets you 50 games, is on the team the entire season. Trae Young is the good form of Trae Young. He's refreshed. He's feeling good. New team, young guys. You know, he's just like, he feels youthful again. And not that he's that old. He's, you know, still in his 20s. But, you know, somebody that looks more like he wants to be there. Not the end of his time in Atlanta. Shoots the ball well. All of those things. You see more growth from Alex Sarr from last year to this year. And just like he did already from his rookie year. Keyshawn George, Trey Johnson. Like, you see the younger guys get better. A.J. Dabonsa is the guy. And he looks like a franchise-altering player. I mean, this is a team we should be talking about over 40 wins. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to talk about the Wizards as bare minimum a 40-win team. And I'd even take it a step further and say they should at least be 500, and they should be in the play-in tournament, and they should be a playoff team. Really, they should. Because that's the level of talent that they actually do have. And it's not crazy to see teams make these massive jumps. The Pistons 2 years ago won 14 games. Now, they hired a new coach. J.B. Bickerstaff came in. They tripled their win total from the year before. First team ever in the NBA to do that. I know it's a level of extreme, but sometimes things do click. And yes, sometimes it's the coaching staff. The Wizards aren't changing their coaches, so that's not going to be part of the conversation, at least now. But they're now a team that's expected to make that big jump. And you can look at the Thunder and the growth that they've had with this team now that's gotten all the way to winning a championship last year and probably winning another one again. You can look at the Spurs, who won 22 games Victor Wembanyama's rookie year, to now a 62-win team and a team that's trying to at least compete with the Thunder and knock them out in the West. I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility for the Wizards to be a team that has a win total when it's done in the 40s. And they're a playoff team that, and listen, when you say playoff team, that means you're in at least the play-in tournament, and you win and get to the playoffs, right? Now, that could also mean sixth seed if we really want to get overzealous a little bit. But, like, it's not crazy when you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, an Eastern Conference that is pretty wide open. We'll see what the Knicks are. But, again, like, what are the Knicks next year? What are the Celtics next year? There's not a dominant team in the Eastern Conference right now. Could that change this offseason? Of course. But nobody's expecting the Wizards to sit there and go, well, now this team's going to go win a championship. No, but it's like, where is the room and where do they fit in the pecking order of the East? It's really wide open. And the question now becomes, like, do they build around what they have here, or do they start maybe getting more aggressive this offseason? There's another option here. The other option for the Wizards is, we got a lot of young guys. We're going to have a franchise-changing player that we're going to draft at number one. That's obviously the goal of what you get for who you draft, Tabonsa, Peterson, whoever. Do they look to move some of their guys? Do they look to move Anthony Davis and some of their other young guys and go star hunting? They could. They've got the resources and the assets to do it. Now, I wouldn't rush into that. And as we've seen in the NBA, it usually doesn't work the way you think it's going to. So I'd be real cautious if I'm them. And quite frankly, unless it's something you just can't turn down, I'd say stay away from that road. And I would build the way that they're building. But this is a team now where success is defined by being in that play-in tournament and at least winning a game, or to the point where they just need to win one and get into the playoffs. Whatever the case is, that's where this team should be moving forward. That's success for me. 800-636-1067. What is success for the Wizards now for you? When you look at next year, we're going to send you into the future. You're going to come back and you're going to tell us, what is success for the Wizards that's going to make you happy next year? 800-636-1067. Nick Ashew on the Fan. You know, I'll be honest with you. It's really nice to not sit and do the lottery sims anymore. Come on, admit it. You did like one of them. We all do it. Now we know the Wizards have the number one overall pick, and it's not really one of those try and manifest it anymore. It's actually reality. Nick Ashew on the Fan. We'll talk to Chris Miller in about 30 minutes, voice of the Wizards. Look, it's occasionally you get this luck, and this is honest. Like, look, this is what makes being a sports fan. These are the good, right? I mean, really, think about it, right? When you suffer for year after year after year, you sit around and realize, okay, it was worth it because now I've gotten this, and I understand the standards are low. We're talking number one overall pick, but again, it feels like a win today, doesn't it? It feels like a win today as the Wizards. I was mentioning this before, like, it really is. I mean, this, if you look at just DC sports in general here, and again, when I say this, the Caps are in their own world because Alex Ovechkin and everything there, that's going to be its own thing. But if you were to look at the four major teams, they're all, it's arrow trending up, I'd even argue, for the Nats, right? I mean, the Nationals are, it's an earlier part of a rebuild, but if you're the Commanders, you're looking at what you've got in terms of a quarterback and hopefully a season this year that's going to be far better than what we dealt with last year. But then you got the Wizards now, where it feels like the arrow's trending up there too. And I'm not kidding when I say a significant win jump is very possible for this team. And look, they're still young, but there's a difference between the regular season and the postseason, where you can be a young team and win a lot of regular season games. You sneak up on teams, you're just playing with a lot of energy. Dudes are all young, no one's getting hurt, no one's got to sit out because their back hurts or anything like that. That's a difference maker too. But, I mean, if you look at the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Pistons, I mean, like, these are examples, and they're all in the playoffs right now. And the Pistons go from 14 wins, which was the worst record in franchise history. They tripled their win total. You then look at the Thunder. It wasn't that long ago the Thunder won 24 games. Again, I know we're going from 17 wins with the Wizards. That team was better than a 17-win team, though. I mean, they even sat the young guys at the end of the year. I know there's some of them were banged up, but we all know what they were doing, right? They go from 24 wins to 40 to 57 to 68. Okay, so that's a big, big jump. They won 64 again this year. So, I mean, even think about it from that perspective. To go from 24 to 40 wins and then to 57, that's a two-year span from one of the worst records in the NBA to 57 wins and the number one seed in the Western Conference. That was not that long ago. The Spurs, same thing, 22 wins. That was Wemby's rookie year. This year, 62 wins. So we're going, I mean, these are big jumps really, really quickly. Really quickly. So the pattern is there. And if you watch how these teams are built, it's the way that the Wizards are building this team. And yeah, some of it is luck. Look, we all know the Spurs were tanking to also get Victor Wembanyama, but it worked. And they got the guy that they wanted. And Victor Wembanyama is probably going to be the face of the league moving forward. I mean, there's nobody else like him in the history of basketball. I mean, really, in the history of basketball, the way that Victor Wembanyama alters games, there's nobody else like it. Now, I get it. AJ DeBonza, Darren Peterson, whoever, they're not going to be like that. But nobody is physically built like the alien, okay? Nobody is. But that doesn't mean that you can't have somebody that can still be a game-altering player in a league where now having wings that can score is, I mean, that's a recipe for success. And that's who AJ DeBonza is, right? But you have to build all of the things together. And look, the Wizards are now going to have some pressure on themselves. Now, it's not a ton of pressure, but if this team were to win like 25 games next year, you can go, then you start questioning the coaching staff, and that's where that next step comes in, and you have to start figuring out whether you're going to need some new people to help lead you there. But, you know, again, there are a lot of moving parts, and there are a lot of pieces that you still have to kind of figure out if you're this team, who's going to be there, what it's going to be. And look, Anthony Davis is the big question. Let's not sit here and pretend that that's not going to be a question that's lingering over this organization until we have a result. And really, the result is, I mean, if he's on the roster at the beginning of next season, it's, is he on the roster past the trade deadline? That's when you have a definitive answer to whether or not Anthony Davis is a part of this team. And look, this does not mean, like, Anthony Davis is not going to sit and just look and go, we're getting the number one overall pick here, I want to be there now. I hate to tell you this, but it's not going to be the case. Because if his goal is to play on a championship contender, the Wizards are not there yet. But that's okay, because it's Anthony Davis is the 45-year-old that's divorced and back out on the dating market, and he's out to dinner with a 25-year-old, and she's great, and she's smart, and she's got a bright future, but she wants to stay out till 2 a.m., and he doesn't want to do that anymore in his life. He's at a different point in his life than she is, and it's the same thing where the Wizards are in a different point in their rebuild life than where a championship contender would be. And that's all right. That's the evolution of a team. That's how you build a team. That's how it looks. The jump isn't going to be from 70 to 50 wins. And even if it was, like, the Wizards, here's the thing. I will guarantee you that the Wizards are not winning an NBA championship next year. Okay? Can we all agree on that? It's really just the middle ground of where they end up. But for Anthony Davis, the goal is championship. So the Wizards are not going to be a championship team. He wants to play for a championship team. So why keep him if you can get a good offer and move him again? And I know people seem to think that he's tainted goods. Guess what? They gave up multiple first-round picks for him. I know they were late first-round picks. They weren't theirs. They weren't, you know, they still bought low on Anthony Davis. But if you have an opportunity to get some more assets, you know, another first-round pick, even if it's 4 years down the road, okay, like, I understand that maybe it feels like those picks don't mean anything, but that's the mindset. Having the mindset that draft picks 4 or 5 years down the road, having the mindset they mean something is what teams like the Thunder have done, where we're looking in this draft. The Thunder had the best record in the NBA this year. Their first-round pick is the last pick in the draft. That goes to the Mavericks. You know what else they still have? Two more first-round picks at 17 and at 12, because they've made trades where years down the road, those picks come back to them. Think about it like this. If the Oklahoma City Thunder right now, they're probably going to win another championship. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be back-to-back MVP for this league. The trade that brought them SGA was with the Clippers. That's the pick they own at 12. So they have the MVP. They just had a championship. They're probably going to get another. And they're also then going to get a first-round pick from the team that they got the future MVP from. Now, yes, some of it is player development and luck and a lot of things coming together, but having the foresight to look down the road as an organization and say, you know what? We've got to think, what is this team going to look like 4 or 5 years down the road? If you made a trade with, I don't know, let me throw out something for you. If the Denver Nuggets came calling the Wizards right now and said, look, we got to do everything we can to make Nikola Jokic happy. We'll give you two future first-round picks, and they're going to be unprotected, but they're 5 and 6 years down the road. We want Anthony Davis, and we'll give you Aaron Gordon in return. I mean, I'd make that trade in a second. And let's say there's not even Aaron Gordon, and it's somebody else on the roster. Again, I know that this is a random hypothetical, but what I'm saying is if you're the Wizards, why would you hang on to somebody like Anthony Davis who does not want to be there? You want guys that want to be a part of this, because you're at this point now where you're setting that baseline for culture. And that's, I know it's a buzzword a lot, but it's something that matters. It's something that means something. And if you have somebody that's, like, he's not going to be a bad teammate, but if he looks uninterested, that's going to trickle down to everybody else. What they did with even trading for Trae Young, it's buy low. It was giving up assets that you, it was guys you were either going to trade anyway or draft picks that weren't as valuable. It made perfect sense for them to buy low in that situation and flip. That's really what the Wizards did. And you've got an opportunity now to make some more moves this offseason. And there are going to be some desperate teams. And there are going to be some teams that look at Anthony Davis and see the upside. Listen, Anthony Davis is one of the best bigs in the NBA when he's healthy. He is, and I get it. There's the whole thing of when healthy. It will not change. He will not play 75 games next year. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't get easier as you get older in the NBA. Look at even LeBron James. It's not the same. But this Wizards team has an opportunity now to retool this even more, based on the talent that they have, based on the youth that they have, based on the assets that they have. And listen, if it means Anthony Davis never plays a game with this team, who cares? I mean, really, it was such a surprise anyway. Remember that trade? It was like, oh my God. Like, what? They just traded for Anthony Davis? And listen, for somebody like AD, he's a guy he's been traded out of the blue in two surprise trades when he thought he was going to be a Laker forever. We thought, right? We thought the Lakers were building around him, and all of a sudden they're like, you can get Luka? We'll trade Anthony Davis in a second. So you see, like, trades can come out of nowhere. These opportunities, again, I know that's an extreme situation. I get it. But still, opportunities could present themselves. And if the Wizards decide they can do whatever else it is to make another trade that gets them more assets down the road and somebody that can help them win now. Again, they're not in, like, championship mode win now. They're in show that you're improving and win 40 games and get to the play-in tournament. You don't need Anthony Davis for that. And look, there's crazy-ass three-team trades that happen, and you could see something where they're maybe absorbing a guy's contract that, you know, is 1 year left, and then that expires, and they got a first-round pick attached to it, and all of a sudden we're looking down the road, and we're like, my God, the Wizards have 5 first-round picks in the next 2 years or whatever. That can happen very quickly, and that's clearly what their mindset is. And they're in a really, really good spot right now. I mean, the Wizards are in a really, really good spot with now having the number one overall pick. And keep in mind, too, when you show this growth, it gets noticed around the league. Because when other players start to see a Wizards organization that's going in the right direction, young players are growing, there's an energy there, people are at Capital One Arena, and they're, you know, it's exciting, and the environment's different, and it feels like a team that's on the rise becomes more of a free agent destination. And I know NBA free agency is not what it used to be. It's not the same. But that doesn't mean, like, you can't make an impact in free agency still as a team. And they got a lot of young guys and small rookie contracts right now, and they're going to have to make some decisions down the road. But to kind of build that direction, you then show, hey, like, we're growing, and this is a fun place to be now. And it's noticed all around the league. So there's a lot of opportunity where the Wizards roster could still look very different next year. Now, again, don't go buying a winner. Don't go, you know, star hunting. Don't go trading young guys for Kevin Durant. Don't do that. I mean, and I know that, listen, get ready because the rumor is going to be there, okay? And if it's like Kevin Durant for Anthony Davis, I guess I could accept that. But it's just, yeah, I mean, you're not really, like, what are you really doing for your future? How much of it is going to be about now, and how much of it is going to be about the future? At this point, if the Wizards were to trade for Kevin Durant, that's about generating some excitement for the now and him being a part of the team for, what, a year or two? I mean, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. When he's healthy, yeah, we know what Kevin Durant is. Still one of the best scorers in the NBA. But how many burners is he paying attention to? How often is he on social media accidentally switching to the wrong accounts and talking about teammates because he's trying to vent his frustrations? Because here's the thing. Kevin Durant playing on a young Rockets team. Comes to the Wizards, it's going to be the same thing. So is he going to be happy with that? I mean, didn't want to come home before. I mean, there's just so much there. But you know what's going to happen. We are going to have those rumors. We're going to have the conversations about whether or not Kevin Durant's going to come to Washington. They're going to trade for him. But last thing I want to hear, do not want to hear any of the, man, can you imagine Anthony Davis, Trae Young, and Kevin Durant? No, I don't want to imagine that. It's a terrible idea. Don't do that. No, don't think that way. They're not going to be able to keep all of their young guys. But you may have to move a couple to retool this roster a little bit. Because part of it too, right, it's just been about collecting talent. It's not really about position. It's just collecting talent, seeing who works, and going from there. Like, I know everybody hates the Denny Avdija trade now, right? You see him in Portland, and it's like, oh my God, they had... Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to pay him at the time. The team wasn't in that position to do it. I remember getting yelled at. People were like, how can you say that was a steal in the draft? I told you all. Denny Avdija was going to be good. People laughed at me. Said, this guy's good. He's just raw. Give him some time. But, I mean, you're going to have to make some decisions at some point if you're this organization, too. But, I mean, this is... I mean, honestly, you'd have been in a decent spot with the number three overall pick. You got the number one overall pick. There's just so much leverage and so much movement here now. And this is the best place for this team to be in. But now the expectations are higher. I mean, without question, they're definitely going to be higher. All right, we'll talk to Chris Miller in about 15 minutes. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Wizards getting the number one overall pick yesterday, and now it's all about what's next. We'll talk to Chris Miller about 8 minutes. Look, there's already reports out there that the Wizards might trade down. Jake Fisher's reporting that, you know, he was told directly that the Wizards are at least considering trading down. And yeah, this is the right language that you want out there. You get it out right away. I love this part of the report, though. Called it a, quote, not a savior moment for Washington, given that they just acquired Trae Young and Anthony Davis and have accumulated multiple recent lottery picks. I mean, if I'm Will Dawkins, anybody with this team, you have to think about it, but you can think about a lot of different things, right? I mean, you could think about buying a Ferrari, but it might not be a smart financial decision. I mean, look, this is, you make it sound like you're at least interested. This is the same lying season formula that you have when the Commanders were in this spot, and that was at pick 7, right? Now, I would argue that the Commanders were in a better spot to trade down, just depending on how the draft actually shaped out. Like, if Sonny Styles wasn't on the board, if he'd gone off the board, the question might have been, like, if the Giants had taken Sonny Styles instead of Arvel Reese, do you go, okay, do we take Arvel Reese or do we trade down? Do we want a guy that's a little more raw? I mean, you know, those are the types of decisions they had to make. They didn't have to do that, so it's fine. But that is something to at least consider if you're the Wizards. And when I say consider, I mean you give the corporate speak, you don't tip your hand after winning the lottery, and you think about Danny Ainge and the Celtics trading down from 1 to 3 and taking Jason Tatum at 3, and then the Sixers being dumb and taking Markelle Fultz, and the rest is history. It worked out for Boston. Here's the thing. The Wizards aren't where the Celtics were then. The Celtics also got that pick when they were already a team that was in much better shape and had won far more games than where the Wizards were. But Celtics got that pick because of trades, because of having the foresight to accumulate some of these first-round picks. So down the road, the conversation became, okay, what are they going to do with all these assets? I mean, remember that. There was so much of that conversation about what the Celtics were going to do, and it was like, oh, they're going to trade for Anthony Davis. This was much younger Anthony Davis, remember? It was like, well, they've got a million first-round picks. Eventually, you got to do something with them, and you do. You can't just, like, collect them and then never do anything with them. Sometimes it's packaging them together and trading for a star. The only way the Wizards trade this pick is if there's somebody serious available. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I would not trade it for like a Giannis, and he's going to be available. Jokic is not going to be available, but let's play the hypothetical. Let's have fun with it. It's a good day, you know. Let's have a little a little hypothetical fun here. If Jokic is available, I guess you consider it, right? But what are you giving up and how much? Like, those are the types of decisions. I feel weird and kind of stupid even talking about it because it's not going to happen. But whatever. Who cares, right? We can think about it. Like, these are the types of scenarios where you get, like, what is the limit for the Wizards to consider trading the number one overall pick? Because the first thing is, well, how far down are you going, right? Is it 1 to 3? All right, you're in good shape, but you know, again, 1 to 3 is not really going to make that much of a difference because, like, if we're being honest with ourselves here, are you trying to trade for a star? You're not going to go from 1 to 12, right? We're going to take the Thunder's 2 first-round picks. It works in the NFL. That doesn't work here, right? Like, if the Commanders had the number one overall pick but had their quarterback settled and they got to trade down to, like, 12 and 17, you might go, ah, 2 first-round picks in the NFL is a lot more valuable than 12 and 17 in the NBA. It just is. You got more positions to fill. The NFL draft is just generally deeper. That's just how it goes. So I just don't really know what scenario there really would be where you'd say that's a smart move for the Wizards to trade out of the first round pick. Unless you're just totally trading it away for stars. And it's got to be a bunch of stars. And I'm just, look, we've seen this time and time again, and you just get to a point where you say star hunting is not the way to build in today's NBA anymore. We're seeing a lot. I mean, seeing a big difference in that. All right, we'll talk to Chris Miller coming up next. Voice of the Wizards. I know he's celebrating today. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Will the voice of the Washington Wizards be saying AJ DeBonsa or maybe Darren Peterson a few months from now calling those games? That's the big question. That's the question everybody has. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Chris Miller, the great Chris Miller, monumental sports voice of the Wizards, jumps on with me. Now, I know you've had a busy day, my friend. I know you probably didn't sleep much last night. I know you've been doing lottery sims for months like me, praying that the Wizards land with the number one overall pick. But Chris, here we are. It's a glorious day for Wizards fans. It's a glorious day in this city. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm still kind of in disbelief because there was so much worry that the ping pong balls weren't going to fall their way and that something stupid like the Thunder were going to get the number one overall pick or the damn Pacers or something. But here we are. The Wizards have the number one overall pick, Chris.
Yeah, truly a great moment yesterday. Just seeing when Utah came up too, it's just like a euphoric moment. You know, for me, I'm blessed that I've had 3 opportunities now to cover a team that's had the number one pick. And it always feels the same way, Nick. It's like, it's hope. It's hope for a fan base. And especially with how really good this draft is, I don't care who you hear, what experts, they all are saying the same thing. And when you're at the top of the mountain and having the opportunity to pick the first player in this really good draft, it's a great feeling. And as I said yesterday, and I've said really all day today to people, I'm just really excited for Wizards fans that have had to go through really the last 3 years of deconstruction to have this opportunity now to get a great player.
See, that's what I really love about this, because, like, I mean, rebuilds or whatever, you know, we can give them whatever terms or whatever, you know, in the end, they're not fun. But when you do it the right way, we see the results. We look at the Thunder and where they are and how they've built. We see the Spurs and how they've built. And let's be honest, I mean, the Spurs, it helped. Number one overall pick in Victor Wembanyama does not hurt the situation at all. But they've built through youth and they've built through patience and player development. And that's what I've loved about the way the Wizards have approached this now, is it has been about player development. It's been about the young guys and giving them opportunities. And I know they traded for Trae Young and Anthony Davis, and those are their own situation here now. But the core of this has been accumulating a ton of young talent, Chris, and getting them out on the floor and watching them grow. And we've really seen that. And now you're going to add another great young talent to this team this season.
Well, that's how you have to build teams now, Nick, in 2026 with the punitive damages when you are in that second apron. You have to build through the draft. And once you get these young players, you got to develop them, and you're given 3 years to figure out if this kid can play or not before he's rookie extension eligible. And that's how you have to do it now. There's really no free agency anymore. That's essentially gone now. So you only have really two ways to build your team the right way, like you said, and it's through the draft and it's through trades.
All I can think of is you talking about silly season and now how silly season.
And it
gone.
Is silly season, Nick. Here in Chicago, I've heard nothing but lies and silliness. So yes, welcome to silly season.
But see, it's different because there's silly season with free agents, and then I almost call this lying season because, like, we just saw it with the Commanders, and it's like you hear all this stuff, and I know what you're referencing. There's already talks about reports that the Wizards might trade down and trade with all this, and it's like, here's what I'll say. I want nobody to know what the Wizards are going to do because it puts them in a more of a position of control. So put all the reports out there of them doing 10 different things, fine. Let's go with it. But what I will say is like, given the fact that we now have this big moment for this team, it kind of feels like that next big step. Where also on top of that too, let's be honest, Chris, the expectations are certainly going to be higher on this team next year because, yes, they've been the fun, young, growing team, and they still will be next year, but now it's definitely going to be more of like, okay, what does that growth look like? And I think that's going to be something that's going to be, you know, really important to see next year with them.
I'm excited to see this team being judged on wins and losses. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that because that, like you said, that's when the expectations are where it should be, when you're wanting to see, root, cheer for your NBA team in your city, is when they go in and night out and you think you have a chance to win. That's what the last 3 years have been about, to kind of build up this roster. You bring in a Trae Young and Anthony Davis. This isn't about, you know, reshaping the organization anymore. You bring in two guys that have 14 all-star appearances between the two of them, and now you get the number one pick to go along with the last 3 years developing and acquiring all this young talent. It's go time now.
I mean, it's kind of surreal when you think about where all this is. We're talking to Chris Miller here on The Fan. You know, so now as we look at this offseason too, here's what I'm kind of feeling. And again, a lot of this is like, everybody's excited and it's a 24-hour thing. Like, you know, we're within that window here. But it does feel like this is now a team that becomes, and I know free agency is a lot harder now, but it feels more like a destination. I'm going to tell you this, Chris. I'm watching these NBA playoffs. Dude, like, I know the Knicks are good right now and all, the East feels really wide open to me. I mean, this feels like a team that can make a massive jump next year. Obviously, things have to go their way. They got to stay healthy, things like that. But it just feels like we could be in a position where we're starting to talk about, you know, I mean, the Thunder went from 24 to 40 wins a few years ago. It wasn't that long ago. Like, I feel like a big jump is very much possible for this team, especially with how wide open the Eastern Conference feels right now.
Well, listen, when you add a guy like Trae Young, who's a 2010 guy, who just a couple of years ago led the league in assists, Anthony Davis, for everything the narratives about his availability, which it's fair, but I would just say, look at his Hall of Fame credentials. Mm-hmm. That guy's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's in his 30s, early 30s. So you add those guys to the mix with what they've been able to acquire again over the last 3 years, and then you add whoever that player is going to be in June. Yeah, I don't want to put a win total on it, but yeah, you would expect them to be vying for at least a play-in opportunity. And that's going to make this city excited, because then what's going to happen? people are going to come to Capital One Arena now, or on the road, they're going to be watching on Monumental Sports Network because they want to see this exciting brand of basketball that are going to go out every night and compete to win, not to just develop, but to try to win games.
When you look at the rest of this roster, I mean, we obviously saw growth from certain players. I mean, Alex Sarr's jump from year one to year two. I mean, you just could tell the difference. Just everything about him, you could tell how much he matured as a player already. So I think the expectations certainly are you continue to see that trajectory. But let's put Alex Sarr aside. Who is the other guy, young guy, that's currently on this Wizards roster that you look at and go, I think a big jump is coming next year?
I'm a huge mark for Keyshawn George. I mean, listen, they're scrimmaging and he hits a game winning shot.
Hang on, let's pull that down there. Nadine, let's pull. We don't need that going. Nick Ashew on the Fan. We were with Chris Miller. We'll bring Chris Miller right back on here. Listen, things happen. It's all good. We breathe. It's a good day. We're celebrating the number one overall pick. Chris, we left off with Keyshawn George there, who is, as you said, you are a big fan of his next level growth. And I think that's really where, if we look at the Wizards and what's going to take them to that, you know, play-in tournament and that next step, it's they got a lot of young, talented guys on the roster, and it's them then taking that next step like a Keyshawn George.
Yeah, I thought he was terrific coming out of playing for the America Cup, playing for Canada in the offseason, what he looked like in summer league in Vegas last year, and it just translated right away in training camp. I remember it was a couple days into it, they scrimmaged, and Keyshawn hit the game-winning shot in the scrimmage, and just the way he carried himself after hitting that game-winning shot, you just saw the confidence, and there was a lot of carryover from what he was doing in the summer, playing for Canada, also playing in the summer league for Washington. So he did a really good job of taking full advantage of those, what I call opportunity minutes. And you just think of the second game of the year. We're in Dallas, and he was the best player on the floor in that game where he just absolutely filled up the stat sheet. I think he ended up with 32 and a bunch of threes and steals and blocks. And Anthony Davis even said it once he got to D.C. He goes, oh, I remember that game. He goes, yeah, Anthony. He goes, Keyshawn George is the best player on the floor that night.
And that's, you know, when you have a veteran that's a future Hall of Famer remembering a performance you had, that's about as good of a badge of honor as you could possibly have. Another guy, and I know, again, there's a bunch of guys I'm sure you're excited about. Dude, I love Will Riley. I think he's got a chance to be something real special for them, too. Just that prototypical stretch, you know, wing, 6'10", just to put the ball on the floor, shoot. I think he's got so much potential, too, with this team. And it's funny, like, honestly, man, if you go up and down, I think we can name a bunch of different guys that you'd look at. Trey Johnson. I mean, people are throwing on Ray Allen comparisons, which, like, all right, give the kid a chance here. He's, you know, 20 years old, but, you know, you watch it and you just go, like, gosh, there's just this, like, the ceiling is so high for so many of these young guys on this roster.
You know, a guy like Will Riley, I mean, I didn't expect him to play at all this year. I thought he was going to get some stints with the G League, but this guy had back-to-back 30-point games where you're like, oh, towards the end of the year, where he not only was like a guy that maybe his name would be on the chalkboard for the opposition, he ended up being probably the guy after those two 30-point games that was the number one name on the board where you're going, okay, we got to stop Will Riley. And he is just a creative scorer. Just love his size and the way he played at Illinois. And he sacrificed a lot in college. You know, he ended up being Big Ten sixth man of the year. That guy's a starter. Come on. Kasper Jakaciones ended up being like the starting PG, and Will sacrificed and said, okay, I'll come off the bench. But he clearly was a bright spot for Washington last year, and that's what I'm talking about, Nick. If you can take that momentum and then, like, go into the offseason, get in the weight room, work on your game, and then you come back, you know, it's all going to be about competition, I think, next season, because there are a lot of like-sized guys on the team. And that's a good thing for Brian Keefe. You basically roll out the ball at training camp and say, go earn your minutes.
And that's, you know, that's what I was talking about earlier is, I mean, you when you do this sort of like, let's just collect the talent and see where everybody fits and then go from there, at some point then the competition separates, you know, the starters from the guys that are good, but maybe they're going to be more of a backup or whatever the case is. And I think that's what this season's going to really show us is some of those young players where there's competition at those similar positions, and they're going up against each other, and you're going to have a few that really separate. I mean, yeah, look, this is a team, Chris, that I think is just, again, the future is really, really bright. I've been this excited in a long time about this team. Be honest with you. I hear it in your voice, too. You and I have known each other a long time, man. This is damn exciting. I can hear it with you. There's this level of just like, oh, yeah, this is going to be fun calling these games next year.
I think what's cool, too, for Wizards fans that they might not know this is the first and second year players, once the season was over with, Nick, they got about 2 weeks off. They're already back in the gym, back in D.C., working out. That tells you everything that Will Dawkins and Michael Winger want in Wizards players is they want to work. They want to get better. They did their vacation. They spent 2 weeks away from the game, and they're already working on getting better for next season. That can only be positive things for Wizards fans to hear.
It's competition, it's culture, it's guys that want to be there. I mean, all that stuff, I mean, it absolutely matters. All right, I do want to get a couple minutes of the rest of the NBA playoffs with you. I know you've been watching. I'll tell you what, the Eastern Conference to me as a whole, man, again, I still think it feels very wide open heading into next year, but if we look at where we are now, do you think the Sixers would at least be competitive against the Knicks after what they did to the Celtics? What the hell happened?
Man, I thought they would at least get two games. It just goes to show you that as much as Knicks fans were on them during the regular season, it looks like they might have figured it out. And it's how do you get Towns and Brunson to work in collaboration with each other and not allowing Brunson to dribble the air out of the ball and get some movement. OG Anunoby was terrific in that series. Yeah, I love Josh Hart, you know, Mikal Bridges. They have the pieces, I think, to contend for a championship, and their bench has been really good. So I thought the Sixers would at least get two, but I'm not surprised that the Knicks are moving on. Now the key is, as soon as the Pistons gets this series over with Cleveland, which I think the Pistons are going to win, the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be interesting to me because I think Cade Cunningham is a superstar, but I feel like he has to do way too much for them to have a chance to win. It'd be interesting if Tobias Harris could continue to have a really good playoff, which he has had so far. And then what are they going to get out of Jalen Duren? Because I think the Knicks have more balance, but I think Cade Cunningham's superstar ability can help the Pistons. And I don't know if they're ready to get to the finals, but they've had the best record in the East really all season long.
Yeah, and the Pistons are kind of at that point where, yeah, it's that taking the next step, right? You go from just rebuilding team, young team, to then you take that jump and you're maybe a playoff team, and then it's you get to the playoffs and you still got to prove that you can win in the playoffs. I feel like the Pistons are right in that prove you got to win in the playoffs before you get to the finals, but who knows? I will say this. I was not surprised that Knicks fans took over those two games in Philadelphia, but I mean,
I wasn't, dude, either.
Some of those videos, dude, there are literally videos. You probably saw them. It's all Knicks fans below an escalator celebrating. No one's coming down the escalator. No Philly fans would go down into that mob. They just said, I'm not having anything to do with it. I've never seen Philadelphia fans just so distraught, and they got completely taken over. It was Joel Embiid's worst nightmare.
I felt so sorry for the lady that was doing the live shot, and I think it was the ABC affiliate in Philly, and then the Knicks fans just took over. She had to go to the tape quickly. She said, let's just go to Sixers fans. I felt sorry for her because they literally took over her live shot.
There's a certain point, yeah, where you're like, all right, guys, like, this is funny, but, like, let her do her job. You know, like, let's not get to that far. But some of the other stuff obviously was funny when it's, like, the Knicks fans that you'd usually see and then they're in the arena. It's been great. I still think, though, in the end, the Thunder win the title. What about you?
Yeah, they're going to get the Lakers out of there pretty quick. They are a well-oiled machine. And, again, what gives me really good confidence as we localize this story is the two men that are making all the basketball decisions, they came from Oklahoma City.
Yes.
So they know what they're doing. They have an amazing eye for talent. And I'm not going to say I wish one day we could be Oklahoma City, but one day I wish we could be in that situation where we're like, man, we got a lot of young players, we got a lot of draft capital, and we're really good, and we are going to be here for a long time. That's what Oklahoma City is right now.
And that is, you know what, that is the goal, and the blueprint is there, and we've seen it. Chris Miller, you're the best, buddy. It's great to talk to you, and congrats, because you're going to have a fun time calling these games next year for this team.
Looking forward to it next season. Nick, it's great to talk to you as well.
All right, man. See ya. Yeah, I mean, it's not you have the ties to Oklahoma City. You have the ties to that front office and the way they've built. And, you know, this is, again, it's a feeling of like there's no – you just as a fan, you get to see this and go, okay, this is the moment that you go through suffering to have these victories. And not every victory is a championship. There's different steps along the way, and what's cool to see is where the Wizards are now and having this number one overall pick. And there's like, I feel like there's just been like a sigh and a breath of fresh air. It's just this feeling from Wizards fans and social media and everything, right? We've all just like, it's a level of disbelief. There's a level of just, this is, I mean, it feels surreal. And then it's, okay, now we've got real possibilities to move forward. It's that, it's so cliche, right? But like the cherry on top of all of this, because now it's no longer about a rebuild. It's the, I don't know what the buzzword would be. We'll come up with something. It's the next step, though. It's taking that team and going from, 17 to 40 wins. Again, the Thunder, and I'm glad Chris brought that up, because the Thunder are the ties to the front office, from the Wizards to the Oklahoma City Thunder and for their front office and all that. It's the same blueprint. You're seeing it. And look, it's okay to copy what someone else has done if it's worked. Have you looked around at businesses in this country? You see something that works, you copy it, it works for you too. It's literally what every AI company is doing right now. They're all copying each other. You did this, or we did this. It's all the same thing. Like, it's okay to look at a blueprint and say, that works. Maybe they were the ones that did it first, but I look at it as almost reviews before you buy a product. Amazon, anywhere else, and I get it, there's fake reviews out there, so we have to be careful. You're not always going to find the real ones, but let somebody else go through it first. Tell me how it worked. Did the product work? Cool. Now I'm going to do the same thing. That's what this feels like with the Wizards, is you're sitting around now and looking at teams that have done this before you. Now it's different players, and there are certain things that have to happen. There are benchmarks, there are steps, whatever it is. But if dudes keep getting better, and they're fun to watch, and they're winning more games, because this is not going to be about losing games next year. Because here's the next thing to keep in mind, too. You got a head coach that's all about player development, has done a really good job in Brian Keefe, but can he show that he's the guy that gets them to those higher levels? Mark Jackson was the guy to get the Warriors to 47 wins and a second-round loss in the playoffs. He ended up getting fired. Steve Kerr came in and won. They won a million championships. So the question becomes, what is that going to look like? What is this coaching staff going to be? Are they going to be the coaching staff that takes them to a certain level? Is everybody going to grow together? I mean, these are the things that now matter, but there's also more pressure that's on you. And this is the good pressure, right? This is the, we're building something and it's working. Because it would be a lot worse. Look, even if the Wizards had the number one overall pick in this draft, but the rest of their roster just stunk, like not young talent, not winning games, but just straight up like, oh, these guys are bad. They can't play. You're in a worse position. The number one overall pick is nice, but then A.J. Dabonsa is coming in, and he's got to be the franchise savior versus he's a part of the collection, needs to elevate himself, and the expectations are certainly going to be higher than most of the other young players on this roster. But the expectations on A.J. Dabonsa's rookie year are going to be a little different. And I say him because we're assuming they're going to take him. I think it's a 95% chance that that's who they draft. Again, crazy things can happen. It's a possibility, but they are in a spot now where they don't have to put their number one overall pick out there as the guy that like takes over, and he can grow a little bit. And here's the thing, whoever they draft, Dabonsa or anybody else, going to have some bad games, going to have some moments, going to look like a rookie, going to go through a shooting slump. And, Dabonsa is not the best outside shooter, but some of that is the situation you're in versus the roster you're on now and all these things. There's a lot of different moving parts with that, but it's now about this whole collection of these guys growing together, and A.J. Dabonsa is a part of that, as opposed to a team that's just kind of disheveled. Like, if you look at some of these other teams that are picking behind the Wizards, they're in a far worse spot. I'd say the Jazz are kind of similar. They've gone, I mean, Danny Ainge is in charge. He did it with the Celtics. It's kind of the same thing. The Grizzlies are a mess because they've been trading away guys, and then it's a question of where Ja Morant's going to be and what they can get for him. We know the Bulls are a disaster, and they're picking at four. So, like, A.J. Dabonsa going to the Grizzlies, going to the Bulls, going to the, anybody, like, any of these other teams kind of in that spot, you're expected to be more of the franchise savior. A.J. Dabonsa going to the Nets, they'd expect him to average 25 his rookie year because none of their picks have worked. The Nets, you think it's bad being a Wizards fan? You think you've suffered? Being a Nets fan, I know there's some. We discovered this too. Nets, Mets, Jets. all the secondary teams in New York all suck. Just bad. Just every some with a name. Somebody said on Twitter to me that they should call the Islanders the Inlets, which would then give them the same name at the end. It's the Ets. I don't know. There's some sort of curse. I can't figure out what it is. But it's, you know, the Nets. It's bad. The Nets tried to be the cool team for a while in the NBA, and then it just fell apart. They've gone through a bunch of owners, and it's just like, Jay-Z was there for a while. Just kidding. Now it's a Russian billionaire. Now he doesn't want it anymore. They just keep going. It's just, I mean, it's at this point, just move to a city and just completely start over. But, you know, those would be situations where somebody like DeBonta would be expected to do a lot more. I'd even argue Darren Peterson, it's similar. I mean, they got Ace. The Jazz fell last year in the draft. They still got Ace Bailey. And Ace Bailey's got significant amount of talent with Darren Peterson. The Jazz could make a major jump next year. I mean, they could. And Darren Peterson's going to be a part of that if they draft him at two. And he's going to be expected to be a part of that whole group of the younger guys they have. They're like DeBonta is too, as opposed to going to the Grizzlies, going to the Bulls, where the rest of the roster is a mess. You got to take charge. That's not where you want to put your rookie, even if they are looked at as guys that could be franchise-changing talents and bring all this to the table and this hyped draft, all of that. It's a much different situation. But, yeah, it's at least the front office for the Wizards is acknowledged. They're like, yeah, you guys have suffered, Wizards fans. You have. We get it. There's awareness there. It's not. There's not a stubbornness. There's not a, like, this is how it has to be. No, there's like, yeah, you made it through, guys, and it's now to the next level. Again, not a championship-caliber team yet, but anybody expects that. I mean, pump the brakes. You know, this team is going to have to grow. There's a progression in the NBA that's there. But if you see the arrow pointing up, if they're a team that's fun to watch, if they're a team that you continue to see that growth, you know, you feel better about it. You're still in a spot where it feels like this is it. They're worth watching. They're worth going to the games. It's that all becomes something that's a whole different feel than, well, they're trying to lose games. It ain't going to be that way next year. That's done. Like, that is done now. If they're losing, it's just because they got beat. But they could be a 40-win team next year. They really could. Nick Ashew on the Fan.